what you see here is Jacqueline Dupré's old Stradivarius, made in 1712, reconstituted into a sort of Baroque instrument. I have got strings on it, and one of the, wooden tail piece, and one of those broader bridges. We didn't go all the way in terms of turning it completely into a Baroque cello, but I think most of the components are there.
Now, the instrument you say was made in 1712.
Yeah.
So that sounds like it's a Baroque instrument to begin with.
Exactly. And what's happened is that, in a way, technology has been very influential in making the various changes to a modern old instrument, such as you see here the A string.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you can see it. It's kind of frayed because I haven't changed it, and it's kind of old. But this is a gut string.
Yeah.
But for a modern cello, you'd put on steel strings, and the difference is on the A string, you can hear a little kind of scraping, reedy sound, which is actually very beautiful.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if the temperature changes too much, if it gets dry, it's much more weather sensitive. It starts squeaking, it's unreliable, it starts to stretch, and, you know, steel is a more durable material. And the demand of larger halls in the 1800s and 1900s has actually asked for greater acoustic sound.
Mm.
I think there is such joy in playing music, noodling. And what's happened is that you have these great instruments that have this, you know, Pavarotti-like voices, and they're designed for large spaces. It's harder to noodle on those instruments. And in a way, what I've discovered with the Baroque instrument is that it's actually a more intimate sound. It's, in many ways, it's suitable for private music making.
Well, chamber music.
Chamber music, smaller rooms.
Now, you mentioned picking up the instrument and noodling. What do you, I mean, when you wake up in the morning and you grab the instrument, what comes to your fingers? Is it Bach?
On this instrument, I would play. It's a wonderful way to wake up. And I have to say also, the strings speak faster. You can do all of these rhythmic bowing changes. The bow, I have to tell you, by the way, this is a Baroque bow.
Uh-huh.
And as you can see, I also brought my
modern
bow. And you can see the difference in the head and the very tip of it.
Mm-hmm.
This one is much heavier.
The modern one,
The modern one. And that allows you to sustain a sound from beginning to end and without a decay. Whereas this bow, which actually my beloved cello teacher, this was Leonard Rose's bow, and he gave it to me, the Baroque bow. And
mm-hmm.
he, when he heard that I was that I'd been interested in it, this is many, many years ago, he said, "What? Take this." And and so I'm playing on it still. But you can see this head, the tip is much, it tapers off. And that and the bow is actually a little shorter, and it allows for just this faster, I think, articulation to take place.
Do you hear a noticeable difference on this instrument when you play the two bows?
Well, here's the modern bow, okay? And the Baroque bow is this one. There's a different kind of breathing.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that in a funny way, I came to playing the Baroque cello from watching very carefully a really great fiddler and what he did, because that, of course, is also a centuries-old tradition. And in that sense, the change was slower, and because it's an oral tradition, and since we don't have recordings from that era, just watching him gave me the physical feel of what it might be like to to play on a Baroque instrument.